Blog Talk Radio.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God. Hallelujah. Who is your God? Mine is the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, my Alpha and my Omega, my beginning and my end. Amen. Glory to God. I love that song, and it's a verse in there that I don't know if you pay attention to, but he says, no one can get praise but God tonight. Is that how you feel today in your life, that tonight, today, wherever you may be at, no one can get praise but God tonight, this evening, wherever you may be at? Make that like a promise to yourself. Nobody's getting praise today from me but God. And I promise you, if you do that every day, sometime throughout the day, just take time to give God praise every day. Believe me, before you know it, you'll be doing it every day, almost all day. And there's nothing wrong with praising God every day. Amen. This is Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil, and I'm at True Vine International Ministry, sitting in for Pastor Lona Waters. Amen. Glory to God. She's a little under the weather, but hey, we stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters. Amen. And I'm loving that, because that has a lot to do with our message on tonight, standing in the gap. But before we get there, let's give honor to the one and only Most High King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's give him praise, y'all. Father God, thank you for keeping us in another day. Thank you for allowing us to be above the dirt. Thank you for allowing us to stand upright to give you praise. Thank you for a voice to give you praise. Thank you for our limbs to give you praise, to lift our hands to give you praise. We glorify you. We lift you up, Father. We make this about you. It is not about us. It is not about our needs. It is not about our desires or our wants, because our desires and wants should be the things that you desire and want for us. So we give all honor and praise unto you. We just ask you to bless our family and friends and loved ones, and we pray for peace on earth towards all mankind, even our enemies on today. Father God, you are the greatest. You are the one and only. You are undefeated. You are never lost a battle, Father. We continue to thank you and praise you for keeping us and our loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. It is so much information when you start talking about the Lord and the goodness of the Lord and what he's done and how he did it and who he delivered and who he uplifted and who he brung down and who he shook up, who he rose from the dead. It is just so much information that I find myself having no excuses to be sad. Even when weights are on my shoulder, even when I feel beat down, even when I feel all the burdens of the world, I say, Lord, you just hold me up and I'll make it. You show me the way and I'll make it. You show my eyes, lighten my eyes up to see and remind my heart and remind my spirit of the things that you delivered me from already, the dangers that you kept me from already, the way you stood in the gap for me and just kept me when I can't and couldn't keep myself. Amen. Glory to God. Like I said, this message this evening is about standing in the gap, and I wanted to title it Next Up to Bat. But I thought about it, and everybody who gets up to bat next don't always listen to the coach. The coach say hit a butt the ball, you want to hit a home run. The coach say hit it to left field, you want to hit it to right field. You know, everybody wants to be that grand slam hero, and that's God's job, to be the grand slam hero. So I'm just going to, you know, title it Standing in the Gap. Amen for my brother and for my sister. And what I want to do is talk about intercessory prayer and interceding for others. I want to give a few examples of how deep it goes. And I know we fast and we pray for some people and we turn down our plates or whatever, however we fast. And, you know, we go before the Lord. We go before the throne of the Lord. And we put the petitions up to God, you know, hoping, well, we knowing that he will hear us. But, you know, in all honesty, we have to be living upright. We have to be obeying God. We have to be walking upright. We have to be living holy and knowing that we're living holy. Amen. Because just because I say I'm saved, you know, that's not all that's to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Intercession is the act of interceding, meditation, interpositions between two or three or more parties at a time. Amen. With a view of reconciliation, prayer, or soliciting or solicitation to one party in favor of another. In other words, I'm doing this not for me, but for someone else. And sometimes in the other side of it, sometimes it could even be against one another. People will pray against you. And that's just the truth of it. Amen. My intercession, it has a needless to grow. I want it to grow. I want it to grow. I want it to grow. I want to be able to intercede for people I don't even know. I want to pray for people around the world. I want to pray for peace around the world. I want to pray that God help show me how to raise everybody. I want to pray that God move in everybody's life. I want to pray that God moves in every family. God moves in everybody's job, everybody's heart. God, just, you know, move for your people, Father. Keep them away from danger. Everything that I can. Amen. Because we got to remember, he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressor. And I like to always go to Bible. I just want to read something in my Bible. If you want to go with me, you can go to the book of Isaiah. Amen. And go to chapter 53 for a minute. I just want to read something real quick. I like to do this before every show, before I get into my lesson, to set the foundation. I know some people have they major text that they go to and they read from and they study from. Amen. But I just like to put down a certain kind of foundation to give my point across. And we're going to be talking about the suffering servant. Amen. Excuse me. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and he did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisements for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. And I could go on, you know, this is crazy because it talks to me about the early ministry of Christ when he appeared on the scene, when he started his earthly ministry, how the Jews in Israel were confused and they had been expecting Daniel's Ancient of Days, and they established a throne. They were looking for someone who would destroy the earth and kingdoms and so on and so on. But it is so information how Jesus stood in a gap for us. That's to me the ultimate gap. That's the ultimate cork. Jesus has filled up the biggest, darkest hole that could be filled in mankind. He gave his life. He fulfilled the promises of Christ. He fulfilled everything that the prophet said was going to come to pass. He made it happen. And this is like so, he was oppressed. I mean, listen, when the servants was brought before his accuser, he opened not his mouth. No word of accusation or self-pity fell from his lips. Even the servant preached a message in his stillness, and his innocence defied silence as echoed through history. That's why I believe they say silence kill. Like, people can do all kinds of stuff to you and things to you, but if you ever notice when you're just quiet and don't say nothing, they don't know how to take that. They don't know how to do that. He stood in the gap. The offering, that was the ultimate offering for sin. That's a guilt offering. Guilt offering, one of the referred, it's referenced in the book of, if you go to the book of Leviticus in chapter, I think 5 and chapter 6, you can get more about it. But it is referenced and fulfilled in Jesus, who became a sin offering for all who would believe in him. Those of us who would believe in him. Amen. Because if you look at it, it ends as it began, with the Lord announcing that he will elevate the servant. I will divide him a portion with the great because of his willingness to identify with and suffer for transgressions. It is so much like it take. I know prayer is a lot when we talk about interceding, but there's so much of your heart. There's so much of your mind and spirit that goes in that. And I'm not talking about the person who intercedes, oh, yeah, I had to go pray for him yesterday. I don't know what's going on with him. He need to get himself. That's not interceding. When you do something like that, you got to have the same passion, the same heart, the same desire as Jesus had. Like, you're doing that. You're giving of yourself. Whatever sacrifices you're making, you're suffering. And what we're going to do, we're going to talk about a few people. I just want to use a few people for examples of standing in the gap for someone else or for others. Go with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. We're gonna talk about a few people because it is so much with this. Because if we talk about the purpose of intercession, it is for what? It is to what? Secure the healing. It is to ensure deliverance. It is to give blessings unto the person from the Lord and give God blessings of you. It is to obtain your restoration, and it is to encourage. We have to repent. And sometimes that person is in the gap for you when they pray. And Lord, I pray that they repent of their sins and never do it again. I pray that they just give themselves over to you wholly and fully. I pray, Father, that you just grab hold of them for them to never do it again. There's a certain desire and passion in your prayers and the things that I can't tell nobody what to pray for, but those are just things, you know, that I see, like certain characteristics, pleading, being, you know, some of us want a quick answer. You know, you want the quick answer, confession, being unselfish in your prayer time. Don't pray 6 hours for a car and pray 2 minutes for a soul. Don't pray 18 hours for a husband and then pray 2 seconds for your mom. Or your family member, or whoever, whoever, amen, whomever. So the first person I want to talk about is Moses, amen, chapter 32. And I'm going to start at verse 11, amen, and I'm going to read down to verse 15. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord. Now listen to how I started out. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord. He pleaded on someone else's behalf. He pleaded like, Lord, please. He pleaded on their behalf. He just didn't go say, Lord, listen here. Check this out. I know he a knucklehead. And I know he ain't doing right. Listen, if you feel like it, just bless him. If you don't, like, do what you got to do. No. He pleaded. He pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them, kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. Now, ain't that amazing? Corrupt and stiff-necked. That's unresponsible and stubborn people. God wanted to destroy the people and create a new nation of Moses. Listen. Of Moses's. He wanted a whole new nation of people like Moses, like a whole nation. But Moses appealed. Moses did three things. He appealed to God. He said to God, God's responsibility, asserting that these are your people. God's reputation was the second thing. The Egyptians would make false conclusions. And the third thing, God's reliability, citing Yahweh's solemn oath to Israel's forefathers. Moses got in there and talked to Jesus, gave him his word back to him. He pleaded with him, Father, how could you? Why are you planning on doing this? Remember what you said to Abraham, to Isaac? Remember what you promised them? They generations and generations. Remember what you said to them? And sometimes when we are in the gap for people, we have to give God his word back, because we got to remember we are interceding. We are praying for a soul. We are praying for a family. We are praying for someone to get delivered, someone to repent, someone to change their route, whatever it may be. We have to go to God, talking to God, head on, no interruptions, head on. Father, remember what you said. Remember what your word said. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Joshua. We're going to try to stay on this path because even with Joshua, I love the word of God because it on a daily basis, I've learned for me to be a successful, okay, I ain't going to say successful Christian, but for this to be a lifestyle for me, there's so many parts. There's fasting, there's praying, there's tithing, there's studying, there's reading, there's quiet time, there's learning, there's loving, we have to be so many people in one. But God put all that in us. Jesus has put all the things we need in us to be successful Christians. Amen. It's in us. Chapter 7, and I'm going to start at verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwell on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" Oh, wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God responded to Joshua's confusion by telling him to get up and deal with the sin in the camp. Sin has what? Consequently, often far beyond the individual sinner, and that was particularly true among God's chosen people, because in this case, an army was defeated, right? But it could not stand before the enemies. 36 men died, and a man, his entire family, all his possessions were destroyed. Now, if you go back a little, it talks about the war, how Joshua sent men to Jericho, to Ai, which is besides Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel. So it was a war going on, and they had to come to the Lord, like, help us. Help us. You brung us this far. Help us. Help us. Amen. But God, he told them, get up and deal with the sin. The sin of this thing is, you know, my wife used to always say to me, you could be married to someone or connected to someone and be living right and upright, but the sin of that other individual, be it your significant other, your husband, your wife, your children, somebody in your immediate circle, somebody in your household, it will hinder you. It will also hinder you. That sin, God is not pleased with that sin. That is the thing that God is not pleased with. And when we interceding for people, Lord, not only turn them from their sinful ways, but whatever sin is in me, because I need to be purer to come before you to represent. It's like being a lawyer coming before the Lord to represent somebody else through prayer. I have to be right too. My walk with Christ has to be right. You know, God trusted Moses so well. God loved Moses so much. And as soon as Moses went to him, he didn't second say nothing. He just said what Moses said was right. He just dealt with it. You're right. Moses gave him his word back. He was right. And he loved Moses. He wanted to make a nation of Moses. So I loving our brothers and sisters and really loving our brothers and sisters, because no one can take this walk alone. No one can take this walk alone. I don't care who you are, but no one can take this walk alone. Amen. Because if we go back, like I said, go back a scripture or two, we'll get the understanding that success makes people more vulnerable to what temptation. Because by them coming off victory at Jericho, the Israelites expected Ai to be easily conquered, especially since the people of Ai were few. But in shocking reversal, the Israelites were soundly defeated, and suddenly they lost their courage. They lost their hearts. Their hearts melted with defeat, and they was humiliating. But God's judgment against Israel's sin would be horrifying. Judgment against your sin, against your family member's sin. Like, I don't want to be trying to stand in a gap for someone if I'm not living right. I don't want to mess their life up and my life. You see what I'm saying? When I go, I want to be a representative. I'm talking about standing in the gap. So what I'm really trying to say is what kind of person I must be. Well, how do I represent my Christian walk? How do I represent the Lord on a daily basis, that I know that I can fall on my face and the Lord hears me, that I can cry out and the Lord hears me? And not only does he hear me, he's going to move swiftly on my behalf for the individuals that I am praying for. Amen. It's not only just going before the Lord. We have to have a certain lifestyle. The one thing I've often tried to do in this walk with Christ is never be a hypocrite. Not saying I'm perfect, not saying that, but I don't want to be a hypocrite Christian. I don't want to be hanging in the bars and trying to preach on Sunday. I don't want to be hanging in a strip club trying to preach on Sunday. I don't want to be gambling, getting high, doing anything I ain't supposed to do and be trying to teach and preach. Because one of the things I ask God for is conviction. I ask him to convict me when I'm wrong, because I need that. And I'm not saying that's for everybody, but there's a certain characteristic that we know that we have to go before the Lord. Amen. I mean, especially on behalf of someone else. I'm going on behalf of someone else's soul, someone else's salvation, and I'm not walking right. I'm not living right. I'm not spending time with God. I'm not praying. I'm not fasting. I'm not tithing. I'm not living right. I'm not treating my family members right. I'm not treating my wife right. I'm not treating my neighbor right. I'm not showing love. I'm not expressing love. I'm not giving of myself without anything in return. I'm not helping those that's less fortunate than me without anything in return. And an intercessor is one of the, I think we have to be so close to Christ that he has to know your name personally. It's almost like you're going up the street and knock on the door. Jesus, can I talk to you for a minute? How you doing today? You got a few minutes? Oh, yeah, Tyrone on my job. Yeah, I know he's been messing up and, he's cussing and everything. I need a favor from you, man. Like, I need you, spare him a little bit, work with him. I'm going to do my part, but I just need you to work with him. Spare his life. Don't take him right now. Partake some things in him. Give him some strength. Give him some courage. Lift him up a little bit. Give him some blessings. Show him a way a little bit. And we have to go that way. But if I'm not right, I can't go knocking on Jesus' door. You don't want to hear me. Oil and water ain't going to mix. Light and dark don't mix. And I'm just saying, because as an intercessor, you just can't go any kind of way. You just can't think, my title is Bishop this and Ephesian this and this and that. No. What is your lifestyle? Your title and your lifestyle could be two different things. Look through history. Look at some of the best pastors, preachers. If you don't know, until it come out, because what's in the dark shall definitely come to the light. So it's a lifestyle to be able to be a successful intercessor. Because just imagine if your pastor is saying, okay, all my intercessors, we're going to get together and we're going to pray for the church. We're going to pray for the sick and shedding. We're going to pray for a nation. We're going to pray for all the souls that's under the bridge, all the souls that's doing narcotics, or whatever the situation may be. We're going to pray. We're going to come together. We're going to have all-night prayer. We're going to hold hands, and we're just going to pray until we sweat, until we just get hoarse in the voice, our hearts. We're going to cry it out. But if we got the circle, and that circle, nine of us ain't living right, or two of us, or whatever, you think God is going to honor that and hear it? But see, what happens with that, on the behalf of the sincere people, I believe God is still moved. But we got to be right before, I just say, be right before you go to God and on behalf of someone else. Amen. Chapter 20, chapter 5. Excuse me for going on so long. I just love what I'm doing. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judea and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built your sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, the Mount Seirim, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out possession, which you have given us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against the great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. They went to the source, Jehoshaphat. They went to God, like, listen, Father, listen to us. Because after the revival among the people of Judea, and Jehoshaphat had another, the country, they discovered that one of the three armies were coming to battle against Jehoshaphat. So as in other times, the revival of the people was threatened by a vastly superior foreign army, right? But Jehoshaphat feared, meaning he realized he did not have the resource within himself to fight. You see what I'm saying? He realized he didn't have the resources within himself to fight. Hallelujah. That's wisdom. He realized that he did not have it in himself to fight this battle. So that fear, it did something to him. It pushed him closer to seek the Lord. It pushed him harder and faster and more passionate to seek the Lord. I know I can't do this by myself. I can't get over what I'm feeling right now. I can't get over the fear that's coming upon me right now. I can't do this by myself. I can't keep taking these kids driving me crazy. I can't keep people doing this to me. I can't take it. And I know it. Oh, but there's someone greater than I, more powerful than I, more wiser than I. Oh, my God, more loving and kind than I, and knows all, and has a quickened solution to my problem, to my fear. Amen? He knew it. He knew it without a shadow of a doubt. So he went to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout the whole country. He proclaimed a fast throughout the whole country. He proclaimed it. Now, you know, one thing about our pastor, she is a firm believer of fasting. When the Lord say fast, she will say it without a shadow of a doubt. Listen, and she don't play with it. Listen, we're fasting, and I am so honest with this. I'm one who do not like it. And I'm not saying nothing bad about her. I'm not saying nothing bad about fasting. I'm just greedy. I just like to eat. And it took a while. It took a while. But what got me to start liking fasting is understanding what fasting truly was. It's that thing where you can sacrifice that thing you love the most, that thing that you think that you can't let go. You try to kill that flesh to strengthen that spirit, man. You want to kill that flesh. So you have to turn down. You have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice to become stronger in the spirit, to be able to hear more in the spirit, to be able to see more in the spirit. I love that. He called the fast throughout the whole country. Go with me real quick to chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. Go with me to chapter 6 of the book of Matthew real quick. And I promise we're going to go right back. Whew. Because this is something that only can be seen by God. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with the sad countenance, for they disfigure their face that they may appear to men to be fasting. Listen, surely I say to you, they have their reward, but you, when you fast, anoint your head. See, instructions. Instructions. It's not just turning down your plate. It's not just turning off the TV. It's not just not bowling. It's instructions. When you fast, don't do like the hypocrites. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. So you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He called the fast throughout the whole country. Can you imagine that? The whole country. Oh, man. And that was a wise approach to me, because in any other frightening situation, when Jehoshaphat was faced with difficulties, he chose to worship God and remember him, especially that no one is able to withstand him. This is essential reminder during difficult times, y'all. When you're in difficult times, remember, choose God. Because, listen, no one is able to withstand him. Go to him. If you know somebody's really going through and they really sick and they really suffering and they really dying and their spirit is dying and they're really dying, when we go to before the Lord, go knowing that God is going to move. Go knowing that God is able and capable. Go knowing that there's nothing he can do. He can never fail. He can do everything but fail. Go knowing that it's going to be taken care of. Go. When you're in difficult times, this is just a reminder that if we go to the Lord, it's going to be taken care of. Amen. If we go to the Lord, I'm going to go to a song and we're going to come back and we're going to try to finish, because I have two more people that I really, really, really want us to listen to. But please, I'm going to go to a song real quick, and I want us when we come back to try to get this, because there's people waiting for us, for real. There are people waiting for us. There are people who needs us, and for us for them to be successful in life. In other words, for their story to change from where they might be a drug addict or in jail or an ex-murderer or ex-rapist or whatever they may be. If we go to the Lord with the right mindset and the right heart, their story can change. But we have to be standing in the gap sincerely. We'll be right back.
Just enough just to get by, won't be you.
Changing some people's stories right now. In the midst of whatever you might be in, God is changing stories right now. He done changed some stories because there's been some danger that we don't even see on a daily basis that he done kept us away from. That's changing a part of the chapter of the story. Some of us know our old lifestyles. We know how we used to live. We know what God has brought us from. He has changed. He is not only changing the story, but some of our stories he done already changed. He's just continuing to change them. Oh, I'm just loving this. This is so much information. The book of Colossians chapter 1, I know I ain't going to be able to do all this, but I'm going to give you as much as I can give you without making you obese tonight. Amen. Glory to God. I don't want to get you too full. Amen, but I want the word of God to go and do what it's supposed to do in our lives. Amen, hallelujah. Chapter 1, verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now, that's a prayer. He didn't ask for cars. He didn't ask for husbands, wives, jewelry, money, riches, none of those things. Do not cease to pray for you and to ask that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will, all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God every day, all day, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering, y'all. Long suffering. Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will. That is the request. The rest of this scripture and passage describes is a result in the believer's life. Knowledge alone is never enough. God's word must change one's life and pattern of thinking. Hallelujah. Literally filling the believer's life and motivating every area of his or her being. Because sometimes as Christians, we fail to live by the will and word of God because we fall prey to false teaching. Some of us fall and fail through neglect, neither reading the word nor applying it, studying it, finding it, studying it. The will of God and the wisdom of God are inseparably linked with saturation in the word of God. Godly wisdom is gained by studying his word. Spiritual understanding is how his children discern his will. Both wisdom and understanding are gifts of the Spirit. They are spiritual. They do not come from what? Some unsupernatural or some fleshly mind or some unspiritual gift. Such spiritual knowledge provides insight into God's will. However, no one can anticipate that will of a stranger. Christians who long to discern the will of God discover it in their growing knowledge of who God is and what he wants. When believers please the Lord constantly, that is their Christian walk. When they produce fruit constantly, that is their Christian work. When they progress in knowledge constantly, that is their Christian wisdom. When they preserve and stress cheerfully, that is their Christian welfare. Hallelujah. And it's so much for us to be doing as intercessors. There is a way to go before the Lord. There is a lifestyle we should be leaving. Because I believe as followers, as people who follow Jesus, as people who believe in Christ Jesus and his ways, we have the opportunity and the calling to be a city on the hill. And we have the opportunity to live our lives in a way that shines a radiant light in the darkness. But it only can happen through his word. Because God gives specific instructions, encouragement for being a people who are the church. That's who we are supposed to be. Not just do church at open doors. We should be sharing key scriptures. We can look to them and know them and study them and feed them to someone else. Amen. Those of us and those of you people who put up Facebook posts asking people to share their go-to verses for when, you know, when they're afraid or on edge, they offer, like, if you put up share that word. Don't be scared if somebody, you think somebody's not going to accept it. Share that word. If God has put a scripture in your heart in the daytime, in the morning, afternoon, even, you know, we put all these crazy things up there, robots and dragons fighting each other and all this other crazy. Put the word up there. And listen, believe it or not, people are looking. They're there looking. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They have no fear of bad news when it comes. It's so crazy because I got bad news yesterday. I didn't have a fear of it. I was just upset with it. But we should not have fear. That's why and you got to be so careful who you have in your life. I am blessed that my wife hears from the Lord. She speaks to the Lord. And she when things are shaky, she blows wind on it. And she sees it clearly. And what I mean by seeing it clearly, she sees past the situation. She sees past what's happening now. She sees what God is doing. She sees the move of God. She sees the hand of God, God's hands moving in the whole situation. Even though it's an uncomfortable situation, she sees it. And that's a great thing. And that's rubbing off. You know, that's why you got to be equally yoked. And I am blessed. I know when you are blessed. Men, if you have a praying wife, I'm getting off just for a little bit. I think this is important. Hold them up in prayer. Watch over them, because the enemy don't like that. It is our job to be the head, that covering. We ought to know. We ought to discern. Yes, they're there to be our helpmates and help us through, but we are supposed to be on our J-O-B, keeping them in perfect peace. We're not supposed to be behaving a certain way that they always stressed out. We're supposed not supposed to be putting a lot of stress on them. We're supposed to be putting the crown of glory on them through our prayer and our walk and our communication with God. They should be able to look at us and see the glory of the Lord on us. They should be shouting in joy because they see God in us, and not your blue eyes, not your curly hair, not your six-pack, not your muscles, but the glory of God. They should be able to see the glory of God. They should be able to see God working in your life. Hallelujah. I love what I am doing. I just love it. And I'm just going to close. I'm going to say this. I just want to say a few this, and I'm going to close. Amen. I'm going to close. They will always have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear in the end. They will look and triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted in high honor. Listen, the Bible says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And that's the book of John, chapter 16. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think around 32, 33. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just wanted to close with that because I wanted us to be encouraged that we have peace. Jesus overcame the world, and we have peace in this world because he did overcome the world. We will have trouble. We will have heartaches, but he said we will overcome the world. Because he has overcome the world. If he is in us, we will overcome the world. I thank you for listening tonight. I thank you for coming aboard tonight with us. And I thank you for being patient with me. Sometimes the Lord lays something on my heart to say to the men. And I think that was, I believe and know that that was the Lord, because someone needed to hear that. Your wife is your queen. Your wife is your treasure. Your wife is your helpmate, not your punching bag, not your slave, not your mother, not your ex-girlfriend, not your baby mama, not your girl. She is your treasure from the heavenlies. Amen. So men, in this season, let us get it right. Let us get it right. Like, let us pray for them in a way that we've never prayed for. Let us fast for them like we never fast. Let it be that they see so much Jesus. Listen, that is bringing them more joy than your six-pack. To see more God than your six-pack. To see God, see you walking upright as a Christian man, knowing that there's, that is God, knowing and discerning it. Because the one thing about my wife, she going to go to the Lord. Lord, I see a little something, but what's going on with him? And what she mean by that? You got him? I'm coming to you. You got him? I had so much written down, but I just want to close with this. Just one scripture, and then I promise I'll close. Fear thee not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my. The Lord gave me this scripture the first day I got saved. And I think I remembered it. And I know it's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. That one in Isaiah 61. So we thank you, us here at True Vine International Ministries. We thank you for tuning in with us tonight. We hope that the word fall on fertile ground. We hope that you take these scriptures and study them and read them. We hope that you continue to intercede if you're an intercessor for others. And we just hope that you got some more foundation in that ministry. We just hope that we can keep continuous to go with a good heart and trust in the God. And when we know nothing else, like we don't know the way God knows. Amen. I can keep doing this all night. So I must close. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done. Thank you for this opportunity to come before your people. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a beautiful day. Thank you for the sunshine. For those that have a sunny day, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the snow. Thank you for the wind. As long as you are a part of our lives, we are okay. As long as you allow us to be in the midst of your kingdom. Show us the way where we lack you, Father. Give us knowledge. Where we lack strength, Father, give us strength. Where we are fearful, give us strength, Father, in the name of Jesus. When we get confused, calm us down, Father. When we get all upset and out of pocket, pray, Father, that your cool and soothing hand touch us to remind us that you're still in control. You are control of this world and everything in it. You have already overcome the world. And we love you and we praise you on this day. We'd like to say a prayer for all those who might be sick and shut in on today. We pray for all the schools. I've been actually praying that the Lord, that they put prayer back in the school. They put prayer back in the bank. They put prayers back in every building. Put it back in the nation from the White House to the Dark House. I just pray that prayer. Amen. And until next time, that the Lord allow us to meet and be together. I really thank you all for coming and joining us. We're just going to really, really continue to do God's work, because I look around and it just seems like the end of the times is really here. But God got us. Don't worry about the wind and don't worry about the rain. Until next time, God bless.
You may be in a dry place right now, and it seems you can't come out. It's a God. before you know it. I'm gonna do it before you know. You're gonna look around and your valley is gonna be filled. You're gonna look around and your valley is gonna be filled. Trust in me. He says, trust in me. Take your hands off of it and trust in me. Take your hands off of it and trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in me. I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. I got your back. Trust in me. I am the God that healed me. And if I did it before, I sure can do it again. Trust in me. I'm Jehovah Jireh. Let me provide for you. Let me heal you.
I'll make a way. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Until next time, good night.